Father, we thank you. We thank you for the resurrection of Christ. We thank you for the victory. The victory that is ours. We thank you for the authority that is ours. Thank you because every saint here this evening, we have their minds, our minds enlightened. Because everyone will be strengthened. Everyone will be fired up much more from within this evening. We give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. Let's just rejoice. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, let's have our seats. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. The mission is possible. The mission is possible. Habakkuk chapter 2. The mission is possible. Habakkuk chapter 2. Let's have our Bibles open there. The book of prophet Habakkuk. Hallelujah. Are we there? Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. This was the prophecy by prophet Habakkuk, speaking aforetime here about God's plan, about the mission and the purpose of God on earth. He says, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. You see the prophet Isaiah also here. Isaiah chapter 11. Verse 9. Are we there? They shall not halt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. The earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, you read from verse 3 to 6, you see Paul speaking here to Timothy, and again, he made clear what the will of God is. The will of God for every man. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. That is to mean that the will of God is the salvation of men. What is the knowledge? The knowledge of God that we feel and that is filling the heart. It is his salvation. His salvation in the heart of men. Men being saved. In 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. In verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. You see Peter speaking there. He says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but his long suffering is to us ward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. His long suffering is towards all, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus himself was speaking in Luke chapter 19. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Let's open the Bible and see it. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, in verse 10. Are we there? Are we there? Alright, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. It means his burning passion for every man is salvation. His burning passion, his craving desire is for men to be saved. What is God's will to on earth? It is the same thing, the same reason Jesus came, the same reason Jesus died, the same reason he was raised. He would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2 verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. Caused the long suffering of God that men should come to repentance. Jesus himself here in Luke 19 in verse 10 makes it very clear and vivid. He says the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. When you look at Jesus Christ in the four gospels, you see him moving from places to places, from cities to cities, villages to villages, because of the possibility of salvation. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 says, and he shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Luke chapter 1, I'll read from verse 74. Luke chapter 1 from verse 74. Are we there? Luke chapter 1 from verse 74. It says that he would grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. But I shall prepare the way, prepare the face of the Lord, go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness, and in the shadow of day, guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit from the desert till the day of his shewing unto Israel. Hallelujah. In speaking about John the Baptist, Zechariah talked that instance. He made very clear why John the Baptist came. Hallelujah. He made it very clear that he came because of Christ. Christ, the one who has come to give light. Are we together? To give light to them who sit in the shadow of darkness. So the will of God and the purpose of God cannot be taken. It is very clear. It is very clear. It will have all men to be saved. It will have all men to be saved. To give the knowledge of salvation to the people by the remission of their sins. This was the burning desire of Jesus in the third gospel. In the synoptic account, it was going with harvest in view. Say harvest in view. Loud and clear. Say harvest in view. In Matthew chapter 9, look at verse 35. Matthew chapter 9. I'll read from verse 35. If you are there, shall glory. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease amongst the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Hallelujah. He had harvest in view. He spoke about the harvest in his resurrection. The harvest in the resurrection. How that upon his resurrection, we will have laborers. What the people we can call military men. Hallelujah. His armies gushed forth to make known and to proclaim his counsel. To make known and to proclaim his counsel. In Matthew chapter 4, look at verse 23. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee. Are we there? Matthew 4, 23. If you are there, shout glory. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease amongst the people. Jesus in the fourth gospel was God who became man on mission. Hallelujah. What did I say? God who became man on mission. Glory to God forevermore. He had no room for frivolity. He's walking about his message and his interferences in situations showed a man walking in possibility of God's plan on heart. In John chapter 1 verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Are we there? I'm in verse 4 now. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Say the light of men. Loud and clear, say the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. It was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him,
and the world knew him not. He came unto his own.
Are you there?
And his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory. The we there will refer to the eyewitnesses, those who saw him, those who saw Christ in his incarnation, and will beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bear witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Verse 18, everybody, can we read that and clear? I declared him. It will mean, therefore, that in the incarnation of Christ was the vital experience with God. No man had seen God. It means nobody saw God in flesh. Nobody saw God that became a man before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is a straightforward correction to what people call Christophany. You know, there are some folks that believe that in the Old Testament scriptures, people saw Jesus Christ. Are we together? That they saw God in the flesh. That never happened. The encounters they had was with angels. Are we together? Are we together? John 1:14 says the word became flesh. That is the incarnation. And that is the vital experience of God's plan and purpose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The word there is the Greek word logos. L-O-G-O-S. Logos. The word for word is the word logos. L-O-G-O-S. It means reason. The thought. Logos always precedes speech. For example, a man's speech is a function of his thoughts. Are we together? Of that which is in his mind. So when it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, he's saying that God's plan, God's thought, God's intention is Christ. Are we together? God's plan, God's intention is Christ Jesus. Such that when you see Jesus, you see the true passion and the true purpose of God for every man. When you see Jesus, you see the true passion and the purpose of God for every man. In his incarnation, he was teaching. He was preaching. His words were words about God's saving power. In Christ's incarnation, he was teaching and preaching. His words were words about God's saving power. His words and actions were actions of possibility. In Luke chapter 5, for example, open your Bible to Luke 5. And let's see. Luke chapter 5. Jesus Christ in his incarnation was a man driven with purpose. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you are there, shall glory. Alright, verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. He was found teaching. He was found teaching. What was he teaching? In Matthew 4:23, Matthew 9:35, he was preaching and teaching about the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He had his own teaching. His teaching was centered about God's plan for man. His teaching was centered about the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When Jesus taught in his incarnation, people looked and heard what he said, and they were astonished. In Mark chapter 1, I'll read from verse 21. Mark chapter 1 from verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue. If you are there, shout glory. If you are there, shout glory. All right, let's open the Bibles. I'm with the glory to God forever. Are we there now? All right, Mark 1:21 again. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not Right. In Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 28 and 29. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 28. Matthew 7. Verse 28 and 29. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended the sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as having authority and not as the scribes. What was his doctrine here? His doctrine in this instance was about salvation. Hallelujah. Say salvation. In the earlier verses of Matthew chapter 7, before that verse 28, you will see the description he made to them from verse 24. Look at it, Matthew 7, 24. Are we there? Matthew 7, 24. Are we there? Therefore, whosoever heareth the sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26. And everyone that heareth the sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. What was Jesus implying in this context? He was speaking about the fact that the one who believes in him is established upon the rock. The rock referring to himself, and is eternally secured. Hallelujah. That is the wise man. The foolish man is the man staying upon the premise of his own performances. He's in unto that man that builds his house upon the sand. The winds come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And blew and destroy such a house. In Jesus' teaching, you will see the passion of God to get men saved. Hallelujah. You will see the passion of God, the purpose of God to get men established, get men secured, to get men secured. Jesus Christ in his incarnation was realigning men to purpose. Say after me, Jesus Christ in his incarnation was realigning men to purpose. In Matthew chapter 16, open your Bible there. Matthew 16. I'll quickly read from verse 21. The mission is possible. Jesus Christ is the representation of God's possibility. Hallelujah. 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 Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Verse 21, 22, and 23. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, 22, and 23. If you are there, shout glory. From that time forth began Jesus to shew unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou severest not the things that be of God, and those that be of men. In that instance, Jesus was making it that his will, his purpose, and his desire was the will of God. His will, his mission, purpose, and desire was the will of God. How that in his death, glory to God forevermore, in his suffering and the resurrection upon that, or upon his resurrection, that will be the salvation of men. It was not a man that was moved with his own appetite, as it were. Glory to God forevermore. Jesus was the example in his incarnation of that one who was God in the flesh and was burning with fire. Fire for the salvation of men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fire. Say after me, say fire. Say zeal. The salvation of men. For the salvation of men. In Luke chapter 9, we read this yesterday. We'll look into it again very quickly. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. Are we there now? Luke chapter 9. I'll read from verse 51. Luke chapter 9 from verse 51. It says, and it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did. But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is come not to destroy men's life, but to save. The Son of Man is come not to destroy men's life, but to save. The reason he came was very evident in his disposition. Hallelujah. In his response to men and in his rebuke to men, you will see his burning passion, his burning mission. These folks just misinterpreted the scriptures. They thought what Elijah did was of God. Jesus did not say, let us handle this at home. Right there, he corrected them. Hallelujah. A man on a mission. Glory to God. God that became a man on a mission, burning with the zeal and the fire of salvation. Jesus Christ in his incarnation to us as the church that very possibility. How that it is possible to always be on fire. How that it is possible to always be on a burning zeal for Jesus. How that it is possible never to have a zigzag Christian life. More like today, you are on the increase for Jesus. Tomorrow, because of circumstances, you are downward. Then the other day, you are upward again. No. In Jesus Christ, we see that increasing demonstration and expression of God's will, of God's perfect plan and purpose on earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In John chapter 2, open your Bible to John chapter 2. And let's see that scenario. John chapter 2. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. John chapter 2, I'll read from verse 14. If thou there shall glory. John chapter 2, from verse 14. And found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple. All. He drove them out of the temple. And the sheep and the oxen. And poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my father's house an house of merchandise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Make not my father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thy house hath eaten me up. The zeal of thy house hath eaten me up. That's Psalm 69 verse 9. Let's look at the way the Mark's account of this same event puts it. In Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. You see the Mark's account of this same event. Mark chapter 11 verse 17. Mark 11 verse 17. If you are there, shout glory. I wait for us. If you are there, shout glory. Loud and clear, shout glory. Mark 11, 17. And he thought, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called the house of prayer for all nations, or shall be called of all nations the house of prayer. But ye have made it a den of thieves. My house shall be called the house of prayer. In that Jesus was quoting Isaiah 56, verse 7. To let us see very clearly that the will and the purpose of God is specific and definite. It is not anything goes. Glory to God forevermore. A man on mission is a man of focus. Focus on purpose. Hallelujah. Single-minded. Singular focus. My house shall be called the house of prayer. Open your Bible to Luke 19. Luke chapter 19. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Luke 19 from verse 45. The same event. The Luke's account. And he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, it is written, my house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Verse 47, everyone loud and clear, let's read together. He taught daily in the temple. In that instance, Jesus, as soon as he drove them out,
those who were buying and selling. He showed them what should be done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What should be done in the temple. A good grasp of these will be that from what Jesus did in that scenario, he was actually pointing to his resurrection. And that the church right now, as the temple of God, you know, the church is the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16, 1 Corinthians 6:19, 2 Corinthians 6:16 says that we are the temple of God. We are the house of God. We are the body of Christ. What he did here was to show us that upon resurrection, hallelujah, hallelujah, that burning expression will be for every saint to be teaching the world, going around, establishing men in the knowledge of God's word and bringing them to the local church where they will be established. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. Jesus, therefore, in his incarnation, showed us possibility. The possibility of ministry. Hallelujah. He showed us true zeal, true fire in the way he rebuked men, the way he corrected men. He was showing us God's will. Hallelujah. He was showing us God's will, giving us the example to follow today as the church. The example to follow today as the church. How that today, as children of God, as sons of God, we are not supposed to be pleasure seekers. What did I say? We are not supposed to be what? Pleasure seekers. We are not supposed to be driven by comfort. Hallelujah. A man on mission, a man on purpose, does not mind the prevailing circumstances. In Luke 9, after Jesus rebuked the disciples and told them that the Son of Man has not come to destroy, but to save men's life, you will see people that are saying that they wanted to follow him. In verse 58, Luke 9, verse 58, Jesus said, foxes have holes. Hallelujah. Birds have nests. But the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. He was showing us how that when you see a man that will fulfill purpose, the man is not moved by appetite. Hallelujah. Rather, is a man moved by sacrifice to get other people saved. Jesus demonstrated to us possibility. Possibility. How that possibility is without the consideration of circumstances. How that possibility, fulfillment of purpose, is without the consideration of prevailing circumstances. In John 1:18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, hallelujah, who is in the bosom of the Father, hath declared him. When we look at Jesus, we'll see God's mission and how to achieve it. We'll see Jesus clearly explaining and clearly demonstrating the possibility of God's work on earth. Open your Bible back to John 1:18 and let's read it together. John 1:18. If you are there, you shout glory. Once you are there, you shout glory. John 1:18. Okay, so we'll wait for others. Are we all there now? Are we all there now? All right, once you go, let's read together. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared. The word declared there is from the Greek word exegomai. E-X-E-G-E-O-M-A-I. E-X-E-G-E-O-M-A-I. Exegomai. In English, you call it exegesis. Hallelujah. What I call? Exegesis. He's saying Jesus is the Father's exegesis. The Father's explanation. The word exegomai is used for the narration of an experience. The unfolding of a story. To relate and to narrate an experience. He's saying that when you look at Jesus Christ in his incarnation, you will see the vital experience with the Father. The vital experience with the Father's nature, his purpose on earth, and his method. The vital experience with the Father's nature, his purpose on earth, and his method. Jesus was found going around teaching. Hallelujah. Burning with passion for Jesus. That is to say today, the church of Christ has the same purpose. Say the same purpose. Lord, I'm going to say the same purpose. Say the same mission. Say the same method. The same purpose. The same mission. The same method. Hallelujah. In John chapter 5. Open your Bible to John 5. I'll read from verse 19 to 22. John 5, 19 to 22. Or let me start from 17. But Jesus answered them, "My Father walketh hitherto, and I walk." He's showing us how that the revelation of the Father, as he declared it, is that the Father is not a passive person. The personality of God is not passivity. What did I say? The personality of God is not what? Passivity. "My Father walketh hitherto, I walk." Which walk is this walk? The walk of salvation. In verse 18, "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and sheweth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel." In John 5:36, the same chapter, hallelujah, are we there? "But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me." A man on mission is a man doing the works of God. The man burning with action and activity. You know, you see people today, they will say, activity is not spirituality. You must put it in the whatever context you are saying. Hallelujah. Activity is actually spirituality. If once it's the right activity. Hallelujah. How do you know a spiritual brother, hallelujah, walking in the consciousness that he is in the spirit because he's born again? You always see him wanting to speak, to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. You will see utterance, you will see boldness, you will see audacity in the expression of the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you see a believer always sitting down, you will be discussing those things, falsehood around him. You just be looking. Hey, that's Yoruba. In English, it means only God knows those who are serving him. You see someone that is untaught. Hallelujah. That's the description of someone who is untaught. A man on mission is a man that is always declaring the testimony of Christ. Hallelujah. Always Father conscious. Always work conscious. Always gospel conscious. Always Father conscious. Always work. The Father's work conscious. Always gospel conscious. Always Father conscious. Always gospel conscious. In John chapter 8, open your Bible there. John chapter 8. When you look at Jesus, he showed us the example of possibility. The example and the demonstration of mission. John chapter 8. If you are there, shout glory. 1, 2, go. Are we there? From verse 3. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. John 8 from verse 3. 1, 2, go. "Brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set him, or set her in the midst," verse 4. "Master, this woman was taken in adultery." In the verse 5. "That Saul should be stoned. But what said thou?" Verse 6. Loud and clear. "But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not." Verse 7. "So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without, let him first cast." Verse 8. Verse 9. "Went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst." Verse 10. "Woman, where are those thy? At no man." Verse 11. What Jesus did here was the expression of the Father's work. No condemnation. No condemnation. "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." What did Jesus mean by "go and sin no more"? Listen very carefully. Jesus was not asking her not to go and commit adultery. That's not what he was saying. Even though adultery was sin. Are we listening? Are we listening? Are we listening? He wasn't asking her not to go and commit adultery. Jesus was asking her
to believe. The next verse shows it. I am the light of the world. Hallelujah. Are we there? He that followeth after me. What? Read it. But shall have seen no more, therefore will be believe. Follow me. Be found in my gospel. The same way in John chapter 5. When Jesus got to the pool called Bethsaida. John chapter 5, he read from verse 1. The pool has 5 porches. There was a man there who was lame for 38 years. There was a meat that this man believed and missed many other people in Israel at that time. It was the meat of an angel coming to stir the water. It's a pity today that we still have some people with places around their church venues called the pool of Bethsaida. The pool that Jesus never spoke about. As the man started talking about the experiences he has had. Look, open your Bible there and let's read. John chapter 5. John 5. Are we there? Are we there? I'll read from verse 7. The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another stepeth down before me. Verse 8, loud and clear. And walk. Verse 9. You see, Jesus made no reference to the pool in any way. Let's continue. And on the Sabbath day, that same day was the Sabbath. Verse 10, everyone. He that made me old, the same said unto me, take up thy. Verse 12. What man is that? Verse 13. Verse 14. And said unto him, Behold, thou art made old. See, lest a worse thing. Alright. So when he said to this man again in this scenario, see no more, lest a worse thing should come upon you. Observe that before Jesus healed this man, Jesus did not ask him, which sins have you committed? Did he ask him? Yeah, before I heal you, you need to confess your sins. Then when you confess it very well, I will now see if you are not qualified to receive my healing. He never did that. He healed him straight away to demonstrate his grace. So why did he not say in verse 14, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing. The word worse there is the Greek word cheiron. What do I call it? Cheiron. C-H-E-I-R-O-N. The word worse. It means that which is greater. Or better still, it is Sora. Sora. S-O-R-E-R. Sora. It will be that by saying a worse thing, it is greater in its effect. Sickness. Are we together? So when he says a worse thing, that actually was referring to eternal damnation. Such that when he says sin no more, Jesus again was saying, believe in my works and in my words. The same thing he meant in John 8. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Neither do I condemn you, in verse 11. Go and sin no more there, will be that from Jesus' miracles, he pointed them to his salvation. Are we following? From his miracles, from his experiences, how he intervened in that situation, he pointed the woman to salvation. Because salvation is the final rescue from the old and the dominion of sin. Are we together? So you will see from Jesus in his incarnation how that he was careful about his purpose. In working miracles, he pointed people to forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. He pointed them to salvation. Because salvation was the exact reason he came. In John chapter 8, open your Bible back to John 8, where we were before. Are we there? Look at verse 28. John 8, verse 28 and verse 29. John 8, verse 28 and 29. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Verse 29. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. He that sent me is with me. Jesus in his incarnation was on mission. Say on mission. Hallelujah. Going around teaching and preaching, demonstrating God's will as salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He was doing it relentlessly. Doing it with all every possible effort. Because he was doing that as an example to the church. How that every encounter you see or you have with Jesus in the four gospel will make you to run on fire for Christ. Hallelujah. He was moving from cities to cities, villages to villages, declaring the counsel of God. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. I'll quickly read. Are we there? From verse 32. If you are there, shall glory. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. In this scenario, if you read from verse 1, you'll discover that of Brother Steve from verse 3 when he came to the well of Sychar. Glory to God, Brother Mo. He sent his disciples to go get meat, food for him, because he was hungry. But right there, as he was waiting there, the Samaritan woman came there. Are we together? And when she came there, as she was trying to fetch water, Jesus walked to her. And as soon as Jesus walked to her, Jesus asked her to give unto him water. Right there, from that physical water, Jesus took the message to eternal life. Look at John 4, verse 8. John 4, verse 8. John 4, verse 8. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Verse 9. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, who am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Hallelujah. Verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. Hallelujah. That's a man on mission. A man on mission. Even when you find yourself watching football, hallelujah, you can convert any story, any event to the gospel. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. I always do that. Sometimes around when I was in medical school with my colleagues, before you know it, I started preaching the gospel. You just turn everything around. Hallelujah. Because every other thing outside the gospel is vanity. Vanity. That well, that water, hallelujah, is temporal. In fact, it amounts to nothing. Jesus therefore had to take her from this water to the water. This water, this well, to the living water. Mission explained and exemplified. Hallelujah. Look at verse 11. The woman saith unto him, John 4, 11, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Verse 14, loud and clear, everyone. The water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. He turned that conversation, hallelujah, based on the reason he was waiting. Everywhere you see Jesus, singular focus and mission is men, that they will receive eternal life, that they will be saved. The Samaritan woman, you observe what she said in verse 9. The Jews have no dealings. The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. The word dealings there is the Greek word sukkraumai. Sukkraumai. S-U-G-C-H-R-A-O-M-A-I. Sukkraumai. S-U-G-C-H. Are we there? R-A-O-M-A-I. It means joint association. What we can call partnership. It means there was what we can call discrimination between the Jews and Samaritans. Albeit in the fire and in the reality of God's mission, there is no discrimination. Because what Jesus was talking about there is a spiritual work.
In the realm of the spirit, there is neither Jew nor Gentiles. Hence, Jesus, speaking to a Samaritan woman, was speaking to her about life eternal, about the water that will spring up from within her, the well of water that will spring up from within her unto everlasting life. In that scenario, you will see again, look at verse 15, John 4, 15. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come either to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband and come either. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. Verse 18, For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. You know, when Jesus gave what we can call this is a word of knowledge. When he gave us word of knowledge, hallelujah, it wasn't to our condemnation. You know, she didn't fall down weeping and say, Oh, I'm of all men most miserable. Who am I? She wasn't weeping. The next thing you see that happened was that this woman went out to tell people that she met the Messiah. Glory to God forevermore. Every encounter with Jesus in the incarnation gave birth to ministry or spoke about the gospel and the ministry in the gospel. When we are talking about the mission is possible, we are referring to the fact that believers are burning with the same passion. How that wherever you find yourself, in whatever circumstance, you can turn that place to a training center of Christ and for Christ. Whether you are in the airplane, hallelujah, or you are in the bus, or you are in, or you are inside Keke Napep, hallelujah, or on a bicycle, hallelujah, glory to God forevermore. A man on mission must always proclaim the gospel. Whether it is convenient or inconvenient, hallelujah, the possibility of that mission is the readiness of the mind to preach. The possibility is the readiness of your mind to turn circumstances in the natural to convert it to spiritual realities, spiritual experiences and explanation of the gospel. We're talking about things in the natural. A man on mission, after seconds or even few minutes, before you know it, he has started preaching the gospel. Glory to God forevermore. Why? He's on mission. People look at him, say, you don't know more than the church. You don't know more than the gospel. He says, yes, I don't know more than, because that is why I am living. Hallelujah. For this cause I live. Is there a cause? Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 17:29. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 17:29. When David got there and Goliath was challenging the children of Israel, and as he got before Eliab, his elder brother, he said, What are you doing here? Who did you leave to care for the few sheep? See what the brother said. He called their father's sheep, Jesse's sheep, few sheep. He spoke less, hallelujah, of the father. Then you see the response of David. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? I'm not just here accidentally. Hallelujah. You are not in Kaduna accidentally. Is there not a cause? Is there not a purpose? A man on mission, even when he is in the prison, we get men saved. Paul did the same. Acts chapter 16, jailer and his household ended up being saved. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. From the incarnation of Jesus, he wants us to see with the eyes of possibility. He wants us to see, to behold, to look at situations and circumstances. And you see with the eyes of possibility. Glory to God forevermore. You hear of Boko Haram. The next thing that comes to you is how they will be saved. When men are crying terrorism, you are seeing more harvest. Bountiful harvest. Hallelujah. When people are saying, can't you see how people are just prostituting, sinning all around? The man on mission will not be saying the same thing. He will rather be saying the gospel. You will not be saying possibility. That will move him to pray. That will move him to fast. Hallelujah. Because the spirit of the one who walked on this earth surface, the God that became man, is now in him, walking the same thing. Hallelujah. See, after we said the same spirit, the spirit of Christ is now in me, burning in me to walk the same thing, the same purpose,
amidst men. Hallelujah. Jesus is the example of purpose. The explanation of purpose. All there is to purpose is Christ. Hallelujah. Say, Christ, my life. Say, Christ, my mission. Say, Christ, my purpose. Christ, my life. That's not loud enough. Say, Christ, my life. Christ, my purpose. Christ, my mission. Come back to John 4 as we were reading. John 4, 32. John 4, verse 32. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Kashabata. Therefore, said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So much urgency. So much urgency. Apatanda. So much. The man on mission does not leave things to chances. Say, whatsoever will be, will be. No. That is why you are here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is why you are that person's friend. That is why, hallelujah, you are in that scenario at a time like this. At a time like this, the time to manifest God's will, to manifest God's purpose, hallelujah, to get your boss saved. You know, I just gave a word to a sister here now. Hallelujah. You are right there working under your boss to get him saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As you enter, even in the natural circles, you are entering there as a man on mission. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. For example, they ask you, so we're looking for someone to go outside the country to get this work done for the company. And you are the one they sent. And all you achieved there was for the company. You are a disgrace to Christ's finished work. Right there, when you are done or before you are done doing the work of company, before you come back to Nigeria, you must have gotten people saved. Hallelujah. Every traveling is an opportunity to spread the fragrance. Every traveling is an opportunity to spread the fragrance of his knowledge. To make manifest the savor of his knowledge. Church, awake to mission. Hakatamba. Church, awake to the burning desire of the one who went to the cross and died for us. The one who was raised from the dead. That is why you are here. You are not with the spirit for passivity. You are not with the spirit for sleeping. Hallelujah. You are with the spirit to get men saved. Jesus Christ showed us that burning desire, that burning passion. He showed us harvest in view. In John 4, 34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Verse 35, are you there? John 4, 35, are you there? Are you there? Say not ye, there are yet 4 months. You know, we still have time. When Lord told me to come to Kaduna, he told me I would spend a lot of years. I still have about 10 years. We have to be doing this thing. You know, that just be doing it gradually. Sometimes when people speak that way, they are not following the will of God. The work is not without urgency. When you say we are doing it as the Lord leads us, be very clear to differentiate what you are saying from indolence. From indolence. You know, slow and steady. Sometimes when people are saying that, they are looking for excuses for their indolence and their misunderstanding and misconception of scriptures. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together.
And hearing is that same true. One saw it and another repeat. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. People have labored in Kaduna. Hallelujah. People have prayed. Each time I have opportunities to go preach, and I know many other saints like that, to go preach, you will know that they're not the first to get there. People have prayed. Some have preached. But in fact, an answer or the answer to their prayer is that you are here. That is why there is urgency. I can remember in the time of David Livingstone of Blantyre in Malawi. The man prayed for strong harvest in Malawi. He even spoke and prophesied about harvest. Years after, about 300 years after, if I'm right, when Evangelist Richard Bonnke got there, in a night, they recorded over 300,000 people saved. That is the answer to the prayers. When you, as a man on mission, when you get there, you look up. Hallelujah. When people are saying, see everything that's happening. No, you are seen with the eyes of possibility. You are seeing the risen Christ. And that is risen over and upon every surface of the heart. Risen over and upon all men. You are there to make that known. Brother, sister, you are here at a time like this to burn with the ceaseless passion of the King. With the ceaseless passion of the Savior. The one who died for us and rose again. Hallelujah. Say the mission. That's not enough. Say the mission. It's possible. You are Jesus' trust on heart. It's up on earth. He committed it already to your hand. Hallelujah. That work, that responsibility, he put the spirit in you upon his resurrection as you believed. So you can establish that same thing, that same purpose. Eternal life in the hearts of men on earth today. Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 9, we've read it, come back to it. Matthew chapter 9, and let's see. Matthew 9. There's so much fire here. Fire of evangelism. Fire of discipleship. The balls of fire are all over this land. All over this land. Burning through you, setting men on fire, all over this land. Mashaka Tahis. Are you there? Matthew 9. Oh my God. Matthew 9, are you there? If you are there, shout glory. I'll read again from verse 35. Matthew 9 from verse 35. Kontos. Are you there? And Jesus went about all cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are. Are you there? The next verse, everyone. Pray ye therefore that he may. That was sent for us is to gush out, to cast out. This was exactly what was accomplished in his resurrection. The spirit in many people, in the church. Hallelujah. When you see people say, the laborers are few. No. We are not few today. Because the only issue we have today is that the laborers are distracted. They are distracted. People are not focused again. Material things, what will we eat, what will we drink, has taken believers away from God's will. This meeting is a redirection and realignment in our minds to God's mission in Kaduna, God's mission in the north, God's mission in Sokoto, in Mina, in Jos, all over, just as the prophet prophesied it. Habakkuk 2:14, I started with Isaiah 11:9. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. None shall ought not destroy on all mount. The old arch shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 10, verse 6. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Why lost sheep? The one lost sheep already shows us that even in Jesus' incarnation, it showed clearly that God did not have any special space for the nation of Israel. Because if God's will that all Israel in the natural are saved, or they are the people of God, there will be no lost sheep there. Are we together? Are we together? That word lost sheep already shows us faith. Faith as the reception of God's will. That people must believe. In Matthew chapter 15, when you see people still running to Jerusalem today, and when they come back, some people will come back with sand. They say, this is the sand from Jerusalem. Some other people will say, this is the oil from Jerusalem. Some people, once they come out, they say, Jerusalem person. No ministry. Ask him, what can you explain to us about what Christ has done? Nothing. The fact that you even went there already showed that something is wrong. You could have gone there for tourism. But that you went to the nation of Israel, what is wrong with you? The spirit within us has made us the abode of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Understanding this makes us to run and to burn with fire. The fire of his resurrection. The fire of salvation. And the fire of ministry. In Matthew chapter 15. Hallelujah. We're there. I quickly read from verse 24. Matthew 15 from verse 24. If you are there, you shall glory. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Verse 28, everyone. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou, by saying that the dogs eat of the crumbs. That was an expression of faith. And Jesus did not drive her away. From Jesus' incarnation, you can see clearly that he came for every man. The one who believes. He came for every man. When the woman said, the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans, Jesus continued the discussion. The passion and the mission of Christ does not discriminate based on tribes. Never. Never. When you see a believer that discriminates in the natural because of natural status or natural background, you see a man that has not encountered the understanding of the fire in him. Is there? The fire is in everyone here. Hallelujah. That burning fire of the Spirit is within everyone here. But there's an encountering of the understanding that comes when we teach the world. You have that full appraisal, the epignosis, the precise and accurate understanding of who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, and Christ at work in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, Christ is in me. His power is at work in me. His fire is within me. Christ is in me. His power is at work within me. His fire is within me. So what is God's will on earth today that men will be saved? What is God's purpose on earth today that men will be saved? This was the same purpose Jesus came. The reason he came. The reason he died. You will see Jesus in his incarnation. He sent his disciples to go to preach. Matthew chapter 10. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 9 and Luke chapter 10. In sending his disciples to go out to preach, he was showing us a pattern again, which will be effective in his resurrection. How that the church of Christ is not a church that is indolent or a church that just sits down. No. The church of Christ is a moving church. What I say? A moving church. When we teach believers the word on Sunday, for example, what happens on Monday? Even if there's a meeting on Monday in this church, it will be in the evening, right? Am I right? What happens from morning to what? To that evening? They have gone out to interact with people. What you do there from morning to evening, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and even Sunday's afternoon to evening shows if you are really understanding what we are talking about. Glory to God, remember? If I ask you, for example, today, how many people have you gotten saved today? And it is zero. You have not yet contacted this fire or the understanding of this fire we are talking about. He wants all men to be saved. And this mission is possible. It's possible by your sacrifice. Possible in your labor. Hallelujah. Possible when you do not discriminate. Possible when you see as he sees. Hallelujah. When you walk, you see. Hallelujah. And walk in his light. In that same reality. In that same passion. With that same zeal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why did he come? He came to save. He came to save. He came to save. He came to save. In Matthew chapter 6, you'll see what Jesus said again there. Matthew 6, open your Bible there. Matthew 6, Jesus exemplified and explained focus. 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 Matthew 6. Once the other you shall glory. I read from verse 19. Matthew 6 from verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Verse 22. Loud and clear. Is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Verse 23. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is thy darkness? Verse 24. Yes. You cannot. That's not loud enough. Verse 24. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and be serving your appetite in the same way. A man on mission, seeing the possibility and knowing that it is very possible, gives his appetite away for Christ. He lays everything down. Glory to God forevermore. Nothing stands in the way of purpose. Nothing in the natural. No achievement in the natural is what is so going to hell. No, I'm referring to your achievement. Your achievement in the natural should not equate to somebody going to hell. I would rather not achieve anything in the natural and get men saved. That is how true missionaries think. Hallelujah. You lose all to gain. That is ministry. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. You see, the brother, he's been where he has been doing well. As soon as pastor tells the person, hey, let's go and preach. He comes back every Sunday with great testimonies of men saying, but as soon as he got the work, the question is now, is this the same brother that we knew before? We must keep our focus. What did I say? You can walk in the natural and serve God well. Paul exemplified that. It is called training. What did I call it? It is called training. Paul will say, these hands of mine have labored. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 4, in verse 12, 1 Thessalonians 4, it mentioned in 2 Thessalonians 3, 6. 12. Acts 20, 33. I have coveted no man's silver or gold. Hallelujah. Acts 20, 33 to 35. You will see that labor, that life of sacrifice. In Matthew chapter 20. Open your Bible to Matthew 20. Matthew 20. Matthew chapter 20. There's so much passion after the lost from the understanding of Christ. So much passion and understanding of possibility. In the understanding of Christ. Matthew 20. Once you are there, shall glory. Matthew 20. I'll read from verse 24. And when the ten had eaten, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. And they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so amongst you. But whosoever will be great amongst you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief amongst you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for men. He had a body. Jesus had a body to fulfill in his incarnation. To minister. To give his life a ransom for men. As he was going around preaching and teaching, he was saying also how that he must die. How that he must be crucified. Hallelujah. How that he will be killed. And obviously be raised from the dead. He was a man moved and burning with passion. Hallelujah. With the Father's mission and purpose in his incarnation. In Luke 24, even upon his resurrection, you will see him explaining the same again. Glory to God forevermore. When he was raised from the dead, he didn't say, now I'm alive. Everything is done. Let me just sit down. For 40 days, he was teaching and explaining the kingdom. It is from Jesus that we have come to learn that service is not a means to greatness or a means to an end. Yeah, I'm serving the Lord so that my circumstances will change. Those are things that materialism has done to destroy a lot of believers today. And once you get the promotion in the natural, a promotion that another unbeliever even is your leader there. Hallelujah. You not stop coming to church. That is not mission-minded believer or mission-mindedness. Mission-mindedness is not based on natural experiences or circumstances. Rather, it has its focus on the cross of Christ. That same sacrifice of Christ. In Luke 24, upon Jesus' resurrection, he was found explaining the same to his disciples. Luke 24, verse 44, 45, 46, 47. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. That all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms concerning me. Then open ye their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it be of Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name amongst all nations. Jesus, upon his resurrection, was found teaching men about the kingdom and sending them to preach. The same fire. The same passion. The same passion that made him to go about is now in the church making us to go about to preach. That same passion. The same passion that made Jesus to go to the cross is now in us today making us to carry our cross and follow him. Hallelujah. 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 The same passion that made him to go to the cross to die is now in us making us to carry his cross, which is now our cross, and to follow him. Hallelujah. The same fire, the same burning passion accomplished in his resurrection is now accomplished in the saints by the Spirit. You know, the fact that Jesus died and he was raised showed us the fulfillment of the reason he came. He fulfilled it now in us by his Spirit. It means, therefore, that the church of Christ is not a passive entity. Neither is it a passive organization. The church of Christ is a conglomeration of burning ambassadors of Christ. I like the way Evangelist Real Monkey will put it. He says, the church of Christ is a lifeboat, not a pleasure boat. Entertainers are not needed. Hallelujah. 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 Comedians are not needed. Charlatans are not needed. From the captain to the cook, all hands are needed on deck for the salvation of souls. The church of Christ is that entity of urgency. Hallelujah. That ambassador of God's omnipotence. To get men saved, to pluck them from the kingdom or the authority of darkness rather, to the kingdom of the Son in the light. Jesus accomplished his mission. Hallelujah. That accomplishment and that possibility is now in us. Hallelujah. You know, God's work is already done on earth. It's already done because we now have the Spirit. The Spirit in us is that full, that fulfillment, that assurance in the church. The Spirit of God in us is that assurance. That assurance. The Spirit of Christ in us means there is no doubt today to God achieving His purpose. There's a way I always like to put it. If you say you are not doing again the work of ministry, right there you will see 7,000 other believers going to preach. There's nothing you are doing today that another believer has not done more than you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you read the Bible very well in the book of Kings, you see Elijah. Elijah said, I'm the only one left right there. Glory to God forevermore. I think that should be around 1 Kings 19. Right there, the Lord showed him 7,000 other people that have not bowed down to Baal. Hallelujah. Right there. Right there. Right there. It's a privilege to serve Jesus. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to be enlisted, to be part of the armies of His resurrection. Hallelujah. 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 It's a privilege. There was a story evangelist Richard Bunky shared. The story of when the Lord told him. I can't remember the year now. But I think that's around 1970s. Hallelujah. 1972, most likely. When the Lord told him to start campaigns around, gospel campaigns. And at that time, he was in a school of theology and the likes, and the Christians in Germany, around that's Frankfurt, they were already going against him, saying his own was much. And the only option he had to go about that work was to leave that premise. Yeah. To go out with what God showed him. And he was already compromising, saying, this persecution is much. I don't think I can go about it again. And that night, the Lord showed him the vision of the blood-washed Africa. He saw the map of Africa and he saw the blood. Obviously, it was a vision. Are we together? All over Africa. And God told him, if you will not, you will be replaced. If you will not, you will be replaced. Hallelujah. There are replacements. There are replacements. If you will not, you will be replaced. He cried that night and spoke with his wife Honey. And it was right after that they went, they came to South Africa. And when they came, then, glory to God forevermore, to South Africa, years after, when they started laboring in Lesotho and in the like, he heard that a world-known evangelist then was around. And they went to that city. When they got there, he wasn't there. It was the associate they met. Are we together? And when Richard Bunky was speaking with the associate, he said, at exactly so-so date in 1972, the Lord told our pastor to do the same thing. Listen, the same thing Richard Bunky went out doing. But he said he wasn't going to do it. It appears that Richard Bunky was the man's replacement. As the Lord was telling the man to do it, and he was not ready to do it, God was already telling other people. The same mission, the same purpose, burning, and those same pictures in our heart are in the heart of several other people. That you are here in Kaduna at a time like this, hallelujah, is actually a privilege. Even if you were born here, glory to God, remember more, it's privilege. Don't kick that plan of God away from you. His work is already done. His work cannot go unfulfilled on earth. Men will be saved. Hallelujah. 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 You are not the one hearing this sermon today. You will pick up this message and run with the same fire, with the same force. Hallelujah. As the tank crier of His resurrection, the announcer of His resurrection, telling every man, Christ died. Christ rose again, declaring the victory of Christ without shame. Paul will say, Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, open your Bible there, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, 13, and 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. The mission is possible. The transformation of lives is possible. Possible by your sacrifice, by my sacrifice. By your labor, by my labor. By your consistency, and by my consistency. Say, Lord, I walk in your plan.
I do not, and I'm not ready to give up. I'll stay with your plan. I'll stay with the pictures as you've revealed in the gospel. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 2. Are you there? 2 Corinthians 2, verse 12, verse 13 and 14. If you are there, shout glory. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. Verse 14. Now thanks unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. When he says he causes us to triumph, he's saying he leads us or lifts us in triumphal procession. How? As we preach the gospel. When we make known the savor of his knowledge all over the heart. This is the will of God. Paul did this. At the end of it, Paul said, I have finished my course. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. You can also finish and complete on earth today that which God would have you do, which is to preach the gospel. It is for this purpose and in this purpose that we never stop. We never faint. Hallelujah. So we never faint. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 1. Just two chapters after. Are we there? Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Say, we faint not. That's not loud enough. Say, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, everybody. We have this treasure in hidden vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Hallelujah. Say after me, faint not. Say, we faint not. Say, I will not yield my mind to pleasures, to temptations of this world. 2 Corinthians 2:17. 2 Corinthians 2:17. Once you're there, shout glory. 2 Corinthians 2:17. Hallelujah. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. We are not as many who corrupt. That word corrupt is the Greek word kapeleo. Kapeleo. K-A-P-E-L-E-U-O. Kapeleo. Kapeleo is to peddle. To peddle. In fact, in the literal Greek representation, that is like to retail. When you reduce the value of a commodity and you now sell it for self-gain. So we are not like that. We are not people who will not go all out with the truth. We are not people who will say what people want to hear. We can just preach forgiveness of sins. But we won't tell people that it is completely spiritual. We can also tell people that because your sins are forgiven, you will get a visa. So that you can have crowd. How then are you a man on mission? Hallelujah. You're a messenger of Jesus because you were sent. He gave you the message. You therefore are not the dictator. Rather, you are the servant. You execute as he has instructed. Hallelujah. Say, I'm on mission for Christ. I'll say as he has sent me. I'll do as he has sent me. I'll be faithful or true. I'll say as he has sent me.
I will do as he has sent me. I will be faithful, all true. Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19, as we begin to round up the teaching. The mission is possible. We have all men to be saved. For this purpose, we are here. For this purpose, you are alive. Hallelujah. For this purpose, you are still in this flesh. Exodus 19. If you are there, shout glory. Exodus 19. I'll read from verse 4. Exodus 19. I'll read from verse 4. Glory to God forevermore. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine. This was Moses speaking about the intention of God, which had its fulfillment in Christ's resurrection. In 1 Peter chapter 2, I'll read from verse 3. You can put a divider, or you put your hand at Exodus 19, because we're coming back there now. I'll quickly come to 1 Peter 2. If you are there, shall glory. 1 Peter chapter 2, I'll read from verse 3. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to homecoming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believeth is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Verse 9. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, to them which stumble at the world, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Verse 9, everyone. A royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous. He calls us royal priesthood, holy nation. He calls us peculiar people. The peculiarity of how you have been made, he now says, you show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The word peculiar or peculiar people is a word in the Greek called peripoesis. P-E-R-I-P-E-R-I-P-O-I-E-S-I-S. Peripoesis. P-E-R-I-P-O-I-E-S-I-S. That implies the word peri is around. Sometimes you have the word peri for people. The word poesis is from the word poio in the Greek. P-O-I-E-O. Poio is to make and to fashion. He's saying that we are the people he fashioned. The way Paul will say that is in Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship. Hallelujah. His masterpiece. When he calls us peripoesis. Observe in Exodus 19, we saw peculiar what? Treasure. Is that what we saw in Exodus 19? Peculiar treasure. The word peculiar treasure in the Hebrew is the Hebrew word segula. What do I call it? Segula. S-E-G-U-L-L-A-H. S-E-G-U-L-L-A-H. Segula. Segula is used in Micah chapter 3 verse 7. Open your Bible there. Micah 3 verse 17. Micah chapter 3. Let's see Micah. Let's see. Why did I say Micah? Malachi 3. Malachi 3:17. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spare his own son that serveth him. That was Malachi's prophecy about the church. They shall be mine. That word jewels, that is peculiar treasure, segula. We are a special possession. We are a special possession. That same word was used in Psalms 135 verse 4. Open your Bible there. The word segula. Psalms 135. Psalms 135. Verse 4. Psalms 135. If you are there, shall glory. If you are there, shall glory. Verse 4. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. That also is referring to Christ, or the church, rather. The church. His peculiar treasure. That same word was used, segula, in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 8. Open your Bible there. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, in verse 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, in verse 8. We are peculiar treasure. His special possession, made with his ability, with his competency, and his sufficiency. Are we there? Ecclesiastes 2 verse 8. Once you're there, shout glory. Alright, let's read one to go, everybody. Okay, let's start again. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men, singers and women, and the delight of the sons of men as musical, and that of all sorts, and the peculiar treasure. Peculiar treasure in the Jewish setting, as it were, is actually that which is over and beyond silver and gold. The value, it is the most precious property or possession of a king. It is beyond silver. It is beyond gold. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 18, see what Peter said there. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 to 20. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in this last time for you. He says we were not redeemed with silver and gold. When the Bible calls us peculiar treasure, is putting our value in redemption. How that our value is in redemption, not in material things. Greater than silver, greater than gold. In 1 Peter 2:9, he says that we now, the peculiar treasure, the holy nation, the royal priesthood that we are, says we now show forth. The word show forth is exagelo in the Greek. What do I call it? Exagelo. E-X-A-G-G-E-L-O. Exagelo is claim, to shout, to make known and to declare. What are we to proclaim? Read your Bible, everybody. The praises of him. The praises of him. The praises. What he's saying there is not for us to be saying, oh, Iggy, Iggy. Yeah, the one that killed, the one that maketh alive. That's not what he's saying. The word praises there is the Greek word arete. A-R-E-T-E. It's used in Philippians 4 verse 8 as virtue. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. Open your Bible there. 2 Peter chapter 1. So the word arete used in 1 Peter 2 verse 9. You see it used in Philippians 4 8 as virtue. Where's the dimension now? 2 Peter 1. Alright, so open your Bible to 2 Peter 1. Look at verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. You see virtue also used in verse 5. So when he says the praises of him therefore will be the manliness, the valor, the virtue of Christ. The one who called us out of darkness to his marvelous light. He's saying that every believer in that redemption, in that understanding of who you are, you have ministry. Peter calls it to proclaim the manliness, the strength and the valor of Christ. The one who by his resurrection has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. Every believer here today therefore has a ministry. Or better still, the ministry. Say the ministry. the ministry of him who called us from darkness to his marvelous light. This is why you are here today. The reason you are still on earth in this flesh is to proclaim, to make men to know, is for you to burn with that same passion. This is why you will give yourself to prayers. You see, Jesus in his incarnation, he kept praying. His prayers were not miracle-driven prayers or problem-driven prayers. Jesus' prayers were purpose-driven prayers. He prayed before miracles. He prayed after miracles. Mark 1:35. Early in the morning, he went to a solitary place and there he prayed. Luke 5:16, he prayed. Luke 6:12, he prayed all night. Hallelujah. Luke 3:21, when he was about to be baptized by John the Baptist, he was found praying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew 17 verse 1, he went with Peter, James and John to a mountain called what? The mountain of transfiguration. That's not the name of the mountain. It was what happened there that made people to be calling it the mountain of transfiguration. Luke 9:28-29. Luke 9:28-29 told us that while he was, hallelujah, his countenance changed. It became glistening. Hallelujah. Lightened up. That is the transfiguration. Glory to God. It was there that they had encounter. That is why they called that place the mountain of transfiguration. What happened there in that place of prayer? Hallelujah. In that devotion of prayer, Jesus was found moving from places to places, praying, preaching the gospel. He exemplified mission to us. Our prayers, therefore, as mission-minded people, will be prayers for men. Why was Jesus Christ praying? He was not praying about his problem. Why? Why was he praying? In John 17, in the prayer that we have, we'll see how that all the expressions, the statements in his prayers were essential repetition of the fact of the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Essential repetition of the fact of the gospel. Life unto all flesh. The people you gave me, I have kept. Except one, the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Hallelujah. And this I pray, that they all may be one. Those are facts of identification. Why was he praying? Even when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, we saw Jesus pray. Hallelujah. Matthew 26 verse 39. The Bible said he fell on his face. He fell on his face. Luke 22, when you read from verse 42 to 44, says as he was praying, his sweat was like the drop of blood. Hebrews 5, 7, as the writer of the book of Hebrews was explaining the same, he said, in the days of his flesh, he offered prayers and supplication to the one which was able to save him. This he did in much agony and with loud cries. With loud cries. Men on mission are men of prayers. Men of prayers. Men of prayers. Why? Why do we pray as mission-minded people? Why must we pray? We pray because we are not trusting in the arm of the flesh. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6. Not by might. Hallelujah. Not by might, not by power. But by my spirit, says the Lord. Prayer means, Lord, I surrender to you. Prayer means I am riding on the wings of the spirit. Prayer means I'm relying on the spirit within. Prayer inspires surrender. Prayer inspires submission. Prayer is like the brain box, like Pastor Christian Gonaga will put it, the brain box of the machine, or better still, of that instrument, of the engine, the brain box there. The reason for the activity, the fire, the reason for the energy, that is prayer. Prayer means it is not my schemes. It is not my way. Lord, it is your own way. Your own ability. Prayer means I depend not on human creativities. I depend not on human gimmicks. I depend not on human ways. I do not follow human's whims and caprices. Not the wise of the flesh. Prayer means, Lord, your own power alone. Your own might alone. Prayer means, Lord, I behold your possibility. And in your possibility, I preach. In your possibility, I go. In your possibility, I proclaim. Prayer means, Lord, not by my wisdom, not by my human intelligence, but the ability of your resurrection. Pray. Prayer to us is not a cry for material gains. Prayer to us is the cry of the man on mission. Prayer to us is the cry of sacrifice. Prayer to us is the cry of the risen King. Prayer to us is the victory in his resurrection. Prayer to us is the power of the King at work in his church. Prayer to us is the power of his resurrection in expression. Prayer to us is the might of God in expression. Prayer to us is the ability of the Spirit in expression. Prayer to us is the power of God at work through us. Prayer is, Lord, I surrender. Prayer is, I exchange my will for your will. Prayer is your thoughts, your will, your desire alone. Prayer is, Lord, I'm after true fire. I'm not after torchlight. Prayer is, only this true fire, Lord. Not that which will stop. That unending fire. That unending energy. That unending fire. That unending passion. That is prayer to us. Prayer is, this mission is possible. Prayer is, this mission is possible. Prayer is, this mission is possible. Prayer is, it shall surely come to pass. Prayer is, I'm running with the strength. Prayer is, this mission is possible. This is why we pray. This is why we never stop. This is why we never faint. The Spirit is within. The Spirit is within. Prayer is to lead, to yield to the promptings and the direction within. Prayer is, Lord, it's not by power, it is not by might, by your will, oh God. Your will alone, wherever you lead me, I go. Prayer is, Lord, I will follow you. Prayer is, Lord, I will follow you. Prayer is, Lord, I am following you. Prayer is your will alone. Prayer is, as you lead, I go. Pakokush.